Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, October 22nd, 2019, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting. And today we are reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter How It Works. We're on page 63 at paragraph 1 at the top of the page. It begins with when we sincerely took such a position and then ends with we were reborn. We're going to pack that one today. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Joanne B., the 12 traditions, Cindy K. Reading the text and support today would be Kara L., Shannon M., Sarah T. Greeting newcomers, getting sponsor contact info, Wendy B., so listen for her, and then announcements at the end of the meeting, Leslie M. Thanks so much for that service. The share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting, 13551, 13,551, and that would be for Monday, October 21st, 2019. And then this morning, we already had a meeting that we've recorded, and that's a 7 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting Tuesday, 10-22-19, is 13555, 13,555. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Joanne B. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Hi, this is Joanne B., the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Joanne B. I will now ask Cindy K. to please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Okay, good morning, everybody. These are our 12 traditions. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Number two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group, conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Number four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Number five, each group has but one primary purpose to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Number six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Number seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Number eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Number nine, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Number 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never to be drawn into public controversy. Number 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And number 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass. Have a great day, guys.
Thank you so much, Cindy Kay. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And as indicated, this would be the star 1 function on your phone keypad alone, please. Today, we resume our study in the Big Book on page 63, chapter How It Works, paragraph 1, begins with when we sincerely took such a position, and ends with we were reborn. I will now ask Kara L. to start us out today by reading that paragraph and commenting her experience. Thank you.
Good morning, my fellows. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. When we sincerely took such a position, all sorts of remarkable things followed. We had a new employer. Being all-powerful, he provided what we needed if we kept close to him and performed his work well. Established on such a footing, we became less and less interested in ourselves, our little plans and designs. More and more, we became interested in seeing what we could do, what we could contribute to life. As we felt new power flow in, as we enjoyed peace of mind, as we discovered we could face life successfully, as we became conscious of his presence, we began to lose our fear of today, tomorrow, and the hereafter. We were reborn. Well, I was just feeling this morning, and it is a perfect reading for me this morning. Because I was having a fear, and I wrote an inventory. And what I heard back in that inventory when I asked my higher power to remove my character defects and fears was, you know, out of self and into God. I'm going to be making mistakes in life, and those are creating more space to be filled up with my higher power, more space to lean in and ask for direction. you know, what position this is, when we sincerely took such a position. And then the paragraph before, we talked about how God was going to be our director now. And I'm finding more and more, the more I work these steps and the more that I recover, I'm finding more and more that when I'm disturbed, it's because I'm trying to be the director, that I haven't taken the position of letting my higher power, God, be my director. And when I realize that and I'm able to work the steps and I'm able to see where that's happening, then life does become easier. And I am able more, I know I can contribute to life more. I can be out of myself. It, you know, I become less interested in what I need and more interested in what I can provide for my higher power in this space, in this life right now. So with that, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. It is joyous. And I am reborn today because it's a new life. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Kara L. Appreciate that very much. The lines are going to be open now for others to comment on paragraph 1, page 63. We're going to unpack that single paragraph. If you want to give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, please.
Irene
B.
Irene and Patty.
Donna B.
Sivia V.
Donna and Sivia.
Elaine B.
Elaine.
Wendy B.
Did I hear Whitney?
Wendy.
Okay, great. That's my lineup. Thanks so much. I have Irene, Patty, Donna, Sivia, Elaine, and Wendy. Thanks. Go ahead, Irene.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. God, I love this paragraph. I love this chapter. Oh, my gosh. So many powerful, powerful messages and teachings for us. Yes, we get to quit playing God and to know that I was playing God and I didn't even know it. And it's like, what do you mean? And I got it. And now I've read this paragraph before, but it just came to light today. The promises. God, I love promises. And but there's a little caveat in there. There's a big if. If we kept close to him, if we performed his work well. So there is a price to pay. God is not Santa Claus. There is a price to pay, but the reward, the wages that we get are so incredibly beautiful, freeing, priceless. Whatever we pay is nothing compared to the reward because we give God a little bit and he gives us back at least 10 to 100 to a million fold of what we give him. That's just the way he is. He is so full of grace and mercy that is just unfathomable. And what I love here is that, oh my goodness, I'm embarrassed, but I am so entitled. I think that life owes me reparation for what I went through in the past. That's a new discovery from working this program and being abstinent 2.5 years. Yes, I have a terrible, terrible sense of entitlement. But this is telling me, my beautiful child, I have so much to give you, but you have to do your part. You have to do your part. It doesn't come free. But once I surrender to his will, his power, his grace, his gentleness, his direction, I have these promises. Once I'm willing to pay the price, then it's not so difficult. It's not difficult at all. On the contrary, it is freeing. Because I have so much clarity, because I don't have to battle my good little angel talking to me in one shoulder and the bad little devil talking to me on the other shoulder. And with that, I pass and thank you for the opportunity to share.
Thanks, Irene B. Patty, it's your turn, Patty D.
Hi, this is Patty D. from Matthews, North Carolina, recovered compulsive overeater. Thanks, Mel. Thanks for your service. I'm sorry if there's a lot of background noise. I'm grocery shopping, and the music sounds extremely loud this morning. I think what strikes me about this paragraph is just about being born again, and I think today what strikes me is how different my life is now and how it seems like before the program, I need it to be in control of everything. I needed that security. That was my security. And now, because I stay in touch with my higher power, who's God to me, it's okay to let him be in control. And the promises are coming true for me in that because I just concentrate on the program and working my steps, I got out my fallen witcher clothes and none of them fit. I know it's not about losing the weight, but my shirts were like tense on me. And I just looked at myself and I'm like, wow, I'm becoming myself again, not only spiritually and mentally, but physically. And to see myself in the mirror coming back is just such a wonderful, wonderful thing. And my sponsor said the most beautiful thing to me the other day. She told me that I inspired her. Me, who was like clinging to her for every step and just didn't think I was going to be able to get through it. And I didn't think I could give up those comfort foods and the things that got me through my chronic illness that I still deal with. But she helped me and God helped me, and this program is just incredible. And I am a different person now. And I just share that with all of you and thank all of you for your support and your shares. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Patty D. Donna, it's your turn, and then Sivia will follow you. Hi, Donna.
Hi. Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver. Thank you for everybody's service. The sentence that really became a turning point for me as I continue to grow in my recovery is when we sincerely took such a position, all sorts of remarkable things followed. So it's telling me that I need to have a posture. And what is that posture? I think the paragraphs leading up to that turning point begin with the sentence, the first requirement is that we be convinced that any life run on self-will can hardly be a success. And the paragraphs that follow that support that thesis, that any life run on self-will can hardly be a success. We go through pages 60, 61, 62, and we're convinced more and more of the mess that happens when I try to live my life on my own self-will. We were reminded that God makes that possible. And there often seems no way of entirely getting rid of self without his aid. This is the how and the why of it. We had to quit playing God. It didn't work. So before, and I have in my notes in my big book on page 63 on this paragraph, established on such a footing that all those sentences that come after that until we are really born, there's a note that says, wow, that's a huge promise. That's dependent on me sincerely taking such a position, sincerely taking a position that I'm absolutely convinced that a life run on self-will could hardly be a success, that I don't even have the power to refrain from acting on self-will. Only a power greater than myself can relieve me of even that compulsion to run my own life, to be the director of my own show. That I absolutely have to quit playing God because it doesn't work. So even before I take step three, I'm becoming more and more convinced that not only do I have a devastating problem with the food, but I also have a devastating problem with the obsession of running my own life, and that the only options I have are to live to the miserable end or to pick up the spiritual toolkit at my feet. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna B. Sivia, it's your 3 minutes, Sivia VG, and then Elaine B will come in after you. Good morning.
Great. Good morning, everybody. So great to be here, and I feel so blessed to be on this call and in following vision for you. So what really hits me when I look at this paragraph and I go back to the previous paragraph is, we decided that hereafter in the drama, God was going to be our director. He is the principal. We are his agents. He is the father. We are his children. And every night and in the morning, I get up and I say, God, please help me to remember that you are the director. I'm the actor. You're the choreographer. I'm the dancer. And when I forget to say that, and when I don't remind myself throughout the day, your will, not mine, be done. This sentence back in the other paragraph that we just read today is, established on such a footing, we become less and less interested in ourselves. I'll have these moments where I become interested in myself. And yesterday, something blew up in my face because I thought I was going to be magnificent and show somebody how much I knew and, they just do the right thing and be a good person, when in reality it was me wanting to show somebody how amazing I was. It blew up and I had to get up early this morning to unblow it. And I had to make amends for that. So these promises here, I just love them. We become interested in seeing what we could contribute, and we felt new power flow in. We enjoyed peace of mind and we discovered we could face life. We become more conscious of God's presence and we begin to lose our fear. And I'm all, fear is worrying about the future, worrying about the past, anxiety, fear, all those things that I can really work myself up into a quivering mass of former blubber, I guess. It's just amazing. And these are the promises. And when we let up on the spiritual aspect of this program and remembering that God is in charge, not Sivia, that when we contribute, we're winners. When we take, we are losers. This is how it works for me. Thank you, everybody, and have a wonderful day.
Thanks so much, Sivia. Next up is Elaine B., and then after that, we'll take a quick pause for a vision for you, purpose identification. Hi, Elaine.
Hi, Melanie C. Thank you so much for your service and everybody on the line. And thank you, God, for this big book. This is one of my favorite paragraphs and one of my favorite lines. I had to repeat this over and over and over and over to retrain my thinking, because I have and can still have a daily confusion about who is the boss, who's in charge, who's the employer. I love that the big book gives us other ways that we can identify in our relationship with a power greater than ourselves. And this one I really held on to this one because an employer is the one who provides, the resources, the environment, the direction, the payoff for what we do. And is also the one who guides and determines what it is that we're going to do. If I take a job and I do things that are completely different than what they hired me to do, it's not going to work out well. And the same thing can happen with my life. The more I get in alignment and acknowledge that I'm not the boss and have let go of the reins, sometimes with rope burns on my hands. Again, this can happen over and over again. And I don't even realize I'm running the show until things aren't going my way and I get all disturbed inside, as somebody had mentioned, which is so true. Now I know what to do with that. Now I know what it means. And it really is fascinating because before I was contributing to get noticed, to get seen, to be known, to, it was always about me, me, me. I wasn't contributing to give, to be part of, to help. And, power flows in when it's not all about me and for me. And it really is amazing that as I invite my new employer, my higher power, my loving God into my life, I do gain peace of mind. I really do get the answers that I need. Maybe not right away, but the guidance comes. And I find that I can face life successfully. Any situations, difficult family situations, difficult illness, difficult challenges, all kinds of things. The other thing is I have a whole new definition of what successful looks like to me. It's no longer the title, the paycheck, the perfect house, the perfect whatever that I'm presenting. So you'll think I'm all hot and great and whatever. That's not my standard anymore. It's really changed because my new employer has a different perspective and a better way that does bring me more peace as I stay in conscious contact with my higher power. And remember, I love that I'm not alone. It's not all up to me. I used to feel like everything was all up to me. If it's to be, it's up to me. But that's not true anymore. I'm not alone. I have access to infinite power and love, thank you, to share with all I do. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Elaine B. And now we'll take this moment to pause for a Vision for You promo today with Liz T.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Good morning, Melanie. This is Liz T. from Minnesota, recovering compulsive overeater. I'm here to announce the exciting news that many of us have been hearing about, the who, what, where, and when of the convention. Who is all of us, over 800 of your closest friends, fellow compulsive overeaters? What is the Vision for You conference? Where? It's at the Marriott Hotel and Convention Center at Newark, New Jersey, Liberty International Airport. Rooms have been filling up. There are still some rooms available at the Renaissance. Go ahead and give a call as it is close and convenient. There is a nice, speedy limousine service back and forth from the Renaissance to the Marriott. Be sure to utilize that, take advantage of that as long as the rate is still low. Registration is wrapping up here, ending in 2 days on October 24th, this Thursday, same as the unbelievably low rate at the Renaissance. So that's an important date to go ahead and get registered before this Thursday. Make sure you go ahead and do that. You can visit the website at www.avision4you.info, avisionforyou.info. November 15th through the 17th, 2019. So it's coming up in less than 24 days. I think that's about it on the info there. Anything else, Melanie?
I think that sounds fantastic. Thanks so much, Liz.
Thank you.
I might only add that, hey, if you've gone before, don't fall for that old line. This is different. Every single time we go, there's new things going on. I have been a part of the program development, and it is over the top different. So let this weekend unfold for you what the power of the Big Book has within it. Take it, utilize it, enlarge it, and then gift it. Gift it, gift it. Don't hesitate. 2 more days. It's closing. With or without you. But we want it with you. Okay, that's fantastic. Thanks so much, Liz, for doing that for us today. We're going to go on now with having Wendy B. have her 3 minutes to share. And when Wendy's done, we're going to open it up for another invitation. Hey, Wendy, star one, please. Thanks again, Liz.
Yeah, hi, this is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And so yesterday's reading said we had to quit playing God. You know, and today it says we have a new employer being all-powerful. He provides what we needed if we kept close to him, you know, performing his work well. And sometimes I still think I'm God, you know, and I have a right to be critical and place judgment on my husband's behavior, you know. And there's a verse that says, who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. And so God is the employer, the master. He's the one who supervises and evaluates each person's behavior. You know, he's the one we each are accountable to. He's the one who gives us our daily assignments, you know, the work he's planned for each of us to do. You know, with his intimate knowledge of each of his children, he gets to put us in the roles suited for us. You know, and it's my job as the employee to follow my employer's instructions, you know, to not interfere with my husband's assignments, to be a team player, you know, carrying out the employer's wish business, you know, his wishes, and to not compare my job responsibilities with those given to my husband, to just focus on getting my job done to the best of my ability. And it's not my job to dole out my husband's responsibilities or to complain about his workload or to try to direct how he does his job. You know, I get to mind my own business. And it's the employer's job to provide me with what I need to do the job of being a recovered woman in all my affairs, you know, to provide the training I need to meet the challenges I face, you know, and I need to listen for his promptings and follow his directions. And when I follow his plan, I'll have a peaceful working environment. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Well, thanks so much, Wendy B. The line.
Can't hear you, Melanie.
Well, thanks so much, Sherry KB. You're always watching my back. I need that from you, sister. Thanks. The lines are going to be open now for additional 5 people. To probably
Jackie H.
on paragraph 1 on page 63. Jackie H.
Karen T.
Sharon, did I hear Sharon?
Karen T.
Karen. Karen. Okay. Karen T. Gotcha.
Janet E.
Mm-hmm. Janet E.
Dawn B.
Rachel P.
Dawn B. And Rachel? Let's go with that. Rachel, what was the first initial?
P.
Thanks, madam. Okay, let's see if I have this right. Jackie H., Karen T., Janet E., Dawn B., and Rachel P. You're up first, Jackie. Hi, good morning to you.
Good morning, Mel. Thank you for your service. This is Jackie H., recovered compulsive overeater, bulimic, and anorexic in Colorado. And I love, love, love this paragraph. This paragraph, I've probably read it many, many times, but this time around, this paragraph is absolutely coming alive for me. I have gone through my life actually seeing what I could get out of life, just getting everything that I could get, every experience. I have this gluttonous personality, right? I wanted to eat too much. I wanted to drink too much. I wanted too many experiences. I wanted lots of people in my life. I just wanted to grab everything that life could give me. And there was no space for anybody else. There was no space for me to do anything for anybody else. I was too busy grabbing for myself. And going through the steps, I was so fortunate to have a sponsor that constantly reminded me that the reason we're doing this is to be of maximum service to our God and our fellows. That was a new concept for me, even though I was a pastor's wife and I felt I served people. But it was always for my gain, right? Everything I did for somebody else, it was for my gain. And so coming in here, oh my goodness, I get to really think less and less of myself and more about what other people. And I do feel, I have felt a new power coming in, and I get to enjoy a peace of mind. And for once, I get to face life successfully. Heck, I didn't know how to face life successfully or unsuccessfully. I was full of fear, full of character defects. And now I'm just, the space is being cleared away so that I can get up in the morning and own my day. And I don't mean in my ego own my day, but in the spirit own my day and step out on the floor when I wake up in the morning having already given my day over to God. And I can own that day and go out and say, I don't have to worry about what to say or do. Because God will direct me. And do I do it perfectly? Absolutely not. I do have fears come in. I do have threats come in. I do have disappointments. I do have disturbances come in. And every time that that happens, the bottom line underneath all that is that I'm not trusting. I'm trusting in my finite self instead of infinite God. And I'm reminded very quickly, and I have the tools today, and I have people available to share with me, and I can own my day, and I can go about and be a servant. Thank you all. Sure. I'll stop sharing, actually. Thank you.
Thank you, Jackie H. Karen T., it's your 3 minutes, and then Janet E. will come in after you.
Good morning. Hello, this is Karen, compulsive overeater from New Orleans. I am so grateful to be here live. I usually listen recorded, so I'm just so grateful to be here. And I've heard it said these are the third step promises, and they are some great promises. The main thing I wanted to say was, if I have a new employer, a new boss, I am part of something bigger. I am dedicating my life to God's plan and not my own little plans and designs. And when I'm part of something bigger than me, that feels good. That feels good. My ego says, no, Karen, you're the biggest thing in the world, but it's not true. And if I can be of service to people and be performing God's work well, I am part of something bigger, part of God's plan. And that feels so good. And that's what gives me power, peace of mind, and facing life successfully. And my favorite promise from the third step is lose our fear of today, tomorrow, or the hereafter we are reborn. I was such a fear-based person. And if I can just take this third step, then I'm going to lose my fear. Yay! Very exciting. And so anytime I have fear, the answer for me is, okay, well, let's try and stay close to God and perform his work well. And can I trust infinite God rather than my finite self, like the person before me just said? That's beautiful. Last thing I want to say is someone challenged me to read pages 60 to 63 out loud and change the wording to I instead of we. So, as I feel new power flow in, as I enjoy peace of the line, as I enjoy peace of mind, as I discover I can face life successfully, I can become conscious of his presence. So, changing the words to I and the tense to present and reading it out loud so that it's new and fresh somehow. Hearing it in my ears helps me. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Appreciate your share. Okay, so we're down to Jackie E. and then Don B. I'm sorry, I said Jackie, and I meant to say Jeanette. And then wasn't like, where is my head? Janet E. There.
Hi, thanks, Melanie. Thanks, Melanie,
you're
for
welcome.
Your service. Janet E., gratefully recovering in Ecuador. I think this could be my favorite paragraph in the book. I just love it so much, and I'm reading it a little bit differently now, the sort of renewed place in my program that I find myself, and that word sincerely has new meaning to me. So I have to sincerely take this position. I can't, and to me what that means now is entirely being entirely abstinent. And that was a pretty critical piece of my program that wasn't entirely abstinent before. And I'm practicing that now and going through the book with a new sponsor and doing things very differently with a different level of willingness this time around. And that feels really good. So the word sincerely is important as I read this now. And I also see that all of these incredible promises, and it's like the mother load of promises, I'm going to be reborn, all these things. I mean, it's just incredible. And but there's two things I have to do. There's that if. So I have to stay close to him. That's my developing my doing, continuing in my step work. That's creating space for higher power to come in and work in my life and run my life and deepening that and performing his work well. And that's making my outreach calls. That's at some point sponsoring. That's being a part of this meeting and participating. And so I have to do those things. I've got a responsibility. It just doesn't come. Just this great bunch of promises doesn't just pop in my lap. I have to do some things here. But I'm so grateful to have a different set of eyes to see this, not from, oh, here's all the things I'm going to get. It's like, oh, there's some things I need to do that I need to continue to do. So I'll see my part in this more now. And I'm just so grateful that I'm a part of this, and I've been blessed with a renewed gift of willingness. So that came from somewhere, don't know where, but you know, thank God. So glad to be here and to be traveling with all of you. Thanks, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, appreciate that. Okay, Don B, you're next, and then Rachel P will come in after you.
Hi, this is Dawn B., recovered from Southern California. And yes, I love this paragraph. It just reminds me that I have a job to do every single day. And my job to do is to wake up, ask God to direct my thinking, remind myself that I am no longer running the show, that I'm no longer in charge, and that a power much greater than my wildest imagination, much more wonderful, much more loving, is in charge, and that I can turn my entire day, all my words and all my actions over to my higher power and ask only that my higher power's will be done and not mine, and that I can set myself to being open to hearing the guidance that comes from my higher power and hearing what my higher power might like me to do to contribute to life. So it's no longer my agenda, my plans that I'm trying to force, but it's me being open and asking what would be the most loving thing that my higher power would have me do today for myself,
Don,
for my family. Yes?
Excuse me just one moment. There's some static going on that just started to happen on your line. And since you have 2 minutes left, I didn't want to miss anything. Your voice has gotten quieter. I hesitate to do that. I had intended to maybe just let it pass, but it may be too hard for people to hear what you're saying.
Okay, well, with that, I'll pass.
We'll reset your time for two. Oh, really? Can you just adjust at all? We can give you the 2 minutes.
Let me see.
It's sounding a little bit better now. Are you on a headset at all that you could go straight to phone?
Yeah, how's this? Is this better?
Oh, that's beautiful, beautiful. My apologies for upsetting your rhythm there, but it's so important to hear what you're saying. Can you proceed to be okay?
Sure, no problem. Thank you.
Okay, let's go with two more. Okay, thanks.
Okay, so being open to my higher powers leading and guiding is the most important thing that I can do during the day, and to ask my higher power, what would you have me do to contribute to life today? What can I do to be helpful? What can I do to be kind? What can I do to be loving? And I was talking with somebody on the phone yesterday, I believe it was, and we were talking about foods, you know, that to be put down and everything. And I was talking about how yes, if it's our higher power's will for us to do something, we are going to be given everything, exactly everything that we need to do our higher power's will exactly as our higher power would delight in it being done. So with the food, but with everything in life, if it's my higher power's will for me to do it, and that is my only agenda, then I can just relax and I can take it easy and just know that it's going to be given to me the ability to do my higher power's will exactly as my higher power would delight in it being done. All that I need is going to be given to me, and I don't need to worry. I can relax, and I can enjoy the day, and I can see the beauty all around me, and I can truly give thanks for all the blessings that I have in life. So my focus and my conscious contact can be laser focused on what is my higher power's agenda here and how can I best carry that out. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Dawn. That was fantastic. Appreciate the clarity there and the willingness to adjust. Okay, Rachel P., 3 minutes for you, madam.
Good morning, my fellows. This is Rachel P., compulsive overeater in Denver, Colorado. And I'm not saying recovered because while I am abstinent, I don't feel spiritually recovered. And this reading is exactly what I needed today because I'm realizing that I'm living in self-will. And this has happened a few other times in the time that I've been in recovery, that I try to run a life on self-will instead of on God's will. And I was journaling earlier about what it looks like when I run a life on self-will, and it's so clear to me the kind of mindset I've been in lately, and that is that I obsess about my body and my worth compared to others. I attempt to manage my food. I obsess about how others see and value me. I'm never enough. I avoid my emotions. I procrastinate. I'm essentially in my defects. And I'm so grateful that I have this program to turn to when I do try to take back self-will. And I know that when I earnestly do the work and seek God's will, I can receive the promises. I can enjoy peace of mind. I can face life successfully. God will accept my fears. And I can live a life of freedom instead of a life of bondage in the self. So I'm just calling myself out and really, really grateful for this program and that we can do this work together. So thanks, I'll pass.
Thanks, Rachel P. We have time for a two-minute share if anyone would like to take that before we transition to the unrecorded portion of our meeting. If you'd like to do that, press star one and share for 2 minutes.
I like to say Reggie.
Okay, I hear Carrie B. Got her. Thanks so much, everyone else. Carrie, your 2 minutes, please. Start now.
can you hear me?
I can.
Thank you. I'm so grateful that I made it out the door this morning. I was literally just going to, stay in my self-pity, stay in depression, stay in the disease. And I said, no. You must get up and take a shower. You must listen to a meeting. You know, you have to do what you have to do. Just get one foot out in front of the other. Keep in your prayer. I literally walk with a cane and pray every second. And today I'm suffering with a heel issue and completely related to sugar and flour. So, you know, once again today, I'm trudging up the hill, but I'm going to let it go today. I'm going to give it up to God. I'm going to let him, you know, direct me to the right foods. I came thinking, McDonald's, and then I thought, no, that's not going to work. Go home and boil up a couple eggs, because I know I love English muffin. Why should I put myself in that situation? And that's a big issue for me. If I can't be in the room with it because I'm not yet at that point where I am 100%, you know, okay with it being there, I'm just not going to allow myself to take myself to a place where it won't be abstinent for me. Though yesterday, I was grateful that I was able to have a lunch that was abstinent and then take the leftovers. But when it was too hot and spicy for me. I returned it, and I was struggling. And then I wasn't abstinent after that. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Perry B. Appreciate that. That does end the sharing portion of our meeting this morning. We're going to transition now to the unrecorded portion by closing this recording out. And I would like to ask Shannon M. to please read page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hi, I'm Shannon, a recovered compulsive overeater in Texas. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.